As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with glad shouts of song and praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Psalm 42, verses 1 to 6, A, means the first part, and verses 9 through 11. There is just so much here that in 5 to 6 minutes, I can't possibly give it all to you. Because this is a major turning point in the book of the Psalter. And but even saying that, I say, how little do we know the Psalter? How little do I know the Psalter? There's so much I have to learn about these Psalms. This is a major turning point in the book, from a dwelling primarily on the name Yahweh, the Lord, to a dwelling primarily on the name Elohim, God. Two different words for our same God, but the poetry definitely changes. It's a movement out of the Psalms of David into the Psalms of the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah, who were the extended family of this guy Korah himself, being the great-grandson of Levi and the grandson of Kehath, and that their family played a very important role, even in the times of David, all the way through, as musicians of the tabernacle, as those who performed the liturgy musically. But then after the time of David, they really took on the role of the writers of psalms as well. And so this, possibly, this whole section is a book of their psalms that existed separately. They were also directly given over to the particular job of manning the doors of the temple. That is, they were doorkeepers in the house of God. Remember how they even sing about that? I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. You got the fact that this particular psalm then, written by one of them, and again, this is a family, so they were very communal. They don't let us know particular names, but that they all came from this tribe within a tribe. Well, one of them finds himself against his will at a great distance from that sanctuary of Zion, from that temple, the resting place where he knows, he believes the divine manifestation of God's work to save people is there. And he's instead surrounded by ungodly people who are mocking him as being forsaken by God. And he comforts himself by continually looking with longing back at what he has lost and telling himself that he will see it again, that God's help is going to appear. So he does sound a lot like David during the time of Absalom, where David yearned for the house of God in Psalm 23, Psalm 26, Psalm 63. He shares David's vexation and he shares David's hope, because this is the Christian vexation and hope, that we dwell in exile. That even as we have the promises of the land to come, even should we establish a Christian kingdom right on Israel as a land, it wouldn't matter, it wouldn't work, because we're waiting for something else, something bigger, a return. And then you have the fact that this same psalm has been made famous, or at least it was. You can never tell with these things how fast they come and go. It was almost famous for a while because of a song that was written on the basis of it. You may know it. It goes something like this. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You're my friend and you're my brother. Even though you are a king, I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver, the apple of my eye. Now, it's very pious, right? There's nothing really wrong with it, except for that it has nothing to do with the psalm itself. There is a longing. You do catch a little bit of the longing there. But it's a far cry from, why is my soul cast down within me? Why am I despairing so deeply? Why does the world hate me for being a Christian? And it paints a picture of kind of more of a mellow happiness, as if the longing for the water is a deer just kind of making its way through a rather pleasant meadow, as opposed to a deer out in the desert, barely able to stand, stepping forward one hard step at a time, its tongue wagging with dryness as it seeks to find a way to quench its thirst. There was a time when I tried to write a hymn based on this psalm. I couldn't do it. It was so depressing. It was so depressing. It was so bad. There was no way we could ever sing it. I gave up just because I kept trying. It's like, oh man, people are going to hate this, because it is. But in just that way, it's so much what we need to hear. It is the confession of the darkness of the valley of the shadow of death. That here we have a constant struggle. Enemies within, fear without, tears being our food all the day and night, as we ourselves are forced to wonder, God, where are you? What are you doing? Why aren't you fixing this planet? How are you going to save me? And then we're having to say to my soul, as I have these doubts, soul, why are you believing these stupid lies? Why don't you just trust in God? You know you got the promises, but then it's back to God. Well, have you forsaken me? Why are you letting these things happen to me? Soul, why are you asking these questions, you unbelieving fool? Trust in what God has said. Hope in him, for he has given you promises of salvation. It's hard to write a praise song that stays faithful to that struggle of one who is simultaneously saint and sinner, and that's why I don't like singing that particular song. God bless you if you do. I don't. Because I do like, as much as it hurts me, to be reminded of just how thirsty I really am, and how nothing in this world, in this age, is able to satisfy, is able to quench my need, nothing except for that thing which all faithful liturgy must point us to, bread and wine on the altar, poured out on lips that have to believe in more than what we see.